Chapter 53. Cranking System. Diagnosis and Service. Starting System Troubleshooting Procedure. Overview. The proper operation of the starting system depends on a good battery, good cables and connections, and a good starter motor. Because a starting problem can be caused by a defective component anywhere in the starting circuit, it is important to check for the proper operation of each part of the circuit to diagnose and repair the problem quickly. Steps involved. Following are the steps involved in the diagnosis of a fault in the cranking circuit. Step 1. Verify the customer concern. Sometimes the customer is not aware of how the cranking system is supposed to work, especially if it is computer controlled. Step 2. Visually inspect the battery and battery connections. The starter is the highest amperage draw device used in a vehicle, and any faults, such as corrosion on battery terminals, can cause cranking system problems. Step 3. Test battery condition. Perform a battery load or conductance test on the battery to be sure that the battery is capable of supplying the necessary current for the starter. Step 4. Check the control circuit. An open or high resistance anywhere in the control circuit can cause the starter motor to not engage. Items to check include: Number 1. The S-terminal of the starter solenoid. Number 2. The neutral safety or clutch switch. Number 3. The starter enabled relay, if equipped. Number 4. Anti-theft system fault. If the engine does not crank or start and the theft indicator light is on or flashing, there is likely a fault in the theft deterrent system. Check service information for the exact procedures to follow before attempting to service the cranking circuit. See Figure 53-1. Step 5. Check voltage drop of the starter circuit. Any high resistance in either the power side or ground side of the starter circuit causes the starter to rotate slowly or not at all. Refer to Figure 53-1. A theft deterrent indicator lamp of the dash. A flashing lamp usually indicates a fault in the system, and the engine may not start. Tech tip. Voltage drop is resistance. Many technicians have asked, why measure voltage drop when the resistance can be easily measured using an ohmmeter? Think of a battery cable with all the strands of the cable broken, except for one strand. If an ohmmeter were used to measure the resistance of the cable, the reading would be very low, probably less than 1 ohm. However, the cable is not capable of conducting the amount of current necessary to crank the engine. In less severe cases, several strands can be broken, thereby affecting the operation of the starter motor. Although the resistance of the battery cable does not indicate an increase, the restriction to current flow causes heat and a drop of voltage available at the starter. Because resistance is not effective until current flows, measuring the voltage drop, differences in voltage between two points, is the most accurate method of determining the true resistance in a circuit. How much is too much? According to Bosch Corporation, all electrical circuits should have a maximum of 3% loss of the circuit voltage to resistance. Therefore, in a 12-volt circuit, the maximum loss of voltage in cables and connections should be 0.36 volt. The remaining 97% of the circuit voltage, 11.64 volts, is available to operate the electrical device, or load. Just remember. Number 1. Low voltage drop equals low resistance, and Number 2. High voltage drop equals high resistance. Voltage drop testing. Purpose. Voltage drop is the drop in voltage that occurs when current is flowing through a resistance. That is, a voltage drop is the difference between voltage at the source and voltage at the electrical device to which it is flowing. The higher the voltage drop is, the greater is the resistance in the circuit. Even though voltage drop testing can be performed on any electrical circuit, the most common areas of testing include the cranking circuit and the charging circuit wiring and connections. Voltage drop testing should be performed on both the power side and ground side of the circuit. A high voltage drop, or high resistance, in the cranking circuit wiring can cause slow engine cranking with less than normal starter amperage drain as a result of the excessive circuit resistance. If the voltage drop is high enough, such as that caused by dirty battery terminals, the starter may not operate. A typical symptom of high resistance in the cranking circuit is a clicking of the starter solenoid. Test procedure. Voltage drop testing of the wire involves connecting a voltmeter set to read DC volts to the suspected high resistance cable ends and cranking the engine. See Figures 53-2 through 53-4. Step 1. Disable the ignition or fuel injection as follows. Number 1. Disconnect the primary, low voltage, electrical connections from the ignition module or ignition coils. And Number 2. Remove the fuel injection fuse or relay, or the electrical connection leading to all of the fuel injectors. Caution: Never disconnect the high-voltage ignition wires unless they are connected to ground. The high voltage that could occur when cranking can cause the ignition coil to fail, arc internally. Step 2. Connect one lead of the voltmeter to the starter motor battery terminal and the other end to the positive battery terminal. Step 3. Crank the engine and observe the reading while cranking. Disregard the first higher reading, the reading should be less than 200 millivolts. Step 4. If accessible, test the voltage drop across the B and M terminals of the starter solenoid with the engine cranking. The voltage drop should be less than 200 millivolts. Step 5. Repeat the voltage drop on the ground side of the cranking circuit by connecting one voltmeter lead to the negative battery terminal and the other at the starter housing. Crank the engine and observe the voltmeter display. The voltage drop should be less than 0.2 volt, 200 millivolts. Note: before a difference in voltage, voltage drop can be measured between the ends of a battery cable, current must be flowing through the cable. Resistance is not effective unless current is flowing. If the engine is not being cranked, current is not flowing through the battery cables and the voltage drop cannot be measured. Refer to Figure 53-2. Voltmeter hookups for voltage drop testing of a solenoid type. Refer to Figure 53-3. Voltmeter hookups for voltage drop testing of a Ford cranking circuit. Refer to Figure 53-4. To test the voltage drop of the battery cable connection, place one voltmeter lead on the battery terminal and the other voltmeter lead on the cable end and crank the engine. The voltmeter reads the difference in voltage between the two leads, which should not exceed 200 millivolts. Tech tip: a warm cable equals high resistance. If a cable or connection is warm to the touch, there is electrical resistance in the cable or connection. The resistance changes electrical energy into heat energy. Therefore, if a voltmeter is not available, touch the battery cables and connections while cranking the engine. If any cable or connection is hot to the touch, it should be cleaned or replaced. Control circuit testing. Parts involved. The control circuit for the starting circuit includes the battery, ignition switch, neutral or clutch safety switch, theft deterrent system, and starter solenoid. When the ignition switch is rotated to the start position, current flows through the ignition switch and neutral safety switch to activate the solenoid. High current then flows directly from the battery through the solenoid and to the starter motor. Therefore, an open or break anywhere in the control circuit prevents the operation of the starter motor. If a starter is inoperative, first check for voltage at the S, or, start terminal of the starter solenoid. Check for faults with the following. Number 1. The neutral safety or clutch switch. Number 2. A blown crank fuse. Number 3. Open at the ignition switch in the crank position. And number 4. The starter relay or module, if equipped. Some models with anti-theft controls use a relay to open this control circuit to prevent starter operation. Starter amperage test. Reason for a starter amperage test. A starter should be tested to see if the reason for slow or no cranking is due to a fault with the starter motor or another problem. A voltage drop test is used to find out if the battery cables and connections are okay. A starter amperage draw test determines if the starter motor is the cause of a no or slow cranking concern. Test preparation. Before performing a starter amperage test, be certain that the battery is sufficiently charged, 75% or more, and capable of supplying adequate starting current. Connect a starter amperage tester following the tester's instructions. See Figure 53-5. A starter amperage test should be performed when the starter fails to operate normally, is slow in cranking, or is part of a routine electrical system inspection. Specifications. Some service manuals specify normal starter amperage for starter motors being tested on the vehicle. However, most service manuals only give the specifications for bench testing a starter without a load applied. These specifications are helpful in making certain that a repaired starter meets exact specifications, but they do not apply to starter testing on the vehicle. If exact specifications are not available, the following can be used as general maximum amperage draw specifications for testing a starter on the vehicle. Four-cylinder engines equals 150 to 185 amperes, normally less than 100 amperes, at room temperature. Six-cylinder engines equals 160 to 200 amperes, normally less than 125 amperes, at room temperature. Eight-cylinder engines equals 185 to 250 amperes, normally less than 150 amperes, at room temperature. Excessive current draw may indicate one or more of the following. Number 1. Binding of starter armature as a result of worn bushings. Number 2. Oil too thick, viscosity too high, for weather conditions. Number 3. Shorted or grounded starter windings or cables. Number 4. Tight or seized engine. And number 5. Shorted starter motor, usually caused by fault with the field coils or armature. High mechanical resistance equals high starter amperage draw. High electrical resistance equals low starter amperage draw. Lower amperage draw and slow or no cranking may indicate one or more of the following. Number 1. Dirty or corroded battery connections. Number 2. High internal resistance in the battery cables. Number 3. High internal starter motor resistance. And number 4. Poor ground connection between the starter motor and the engine block. Refer to Figure 53-5. A starter amperage tester uses an amp probe around the positive or negative battery cables. Tech tip. Watch the dome light. When diagnosing any starter-related problem, open the door of the vehicle and observe the brightness of the dome or interior lights. The brightness of any electrical lamp is proportional to the voltage of the battery. Normal operation of the starter results in a slight dimming of the dome light. If the light remains bright, the problem is usually an open in the control circuit. If the light goes out or almost goes out, there could be a problem with the following. Number 1. A shorted or grounded armature of field coils inside the starter. Number 2. Loose or corroded battery connections or cables. Number 3. Weak or discharged battery. Case study. The case of the no-crank Camaro. The owner of a Camaro SS equipped with a 6.2-liter V8 and a 6-speed manual transmission had the car towed to a shop for a no-crank, no-start condition. The technician used a scan tool and was able to retrieve a stored diagnostic trouble code, abbreviated DTC P0807. This code indicated a fault with the clutch pedal position, abbreviated CPP, sensor. The clutch pedal position sensor was removed and it was found to be internally shorted. A new sensor was installed and the technician performed a relearn procedure as specified in service information. The car was then able to crank and start and the verified that no codes were present. The summary. The complaint, the customer stated that the engine would not crank or start. The cause, a shorted clutch pedal position abbreviated, CPP, sensor. The correction, the clutch pedal position sensor was replaced and a relearn procedure was performed. Starter removal. Procedure. After testing has confirmed that a starter motor may need to be replaced, most vehicle manufacturers recommend the following general steps and procedures. Step 1. Disconnect the negative battery cable. Step 2. Hoist the vehicle safely. Note, this step may not be necessary. Check service information for the specified procedure for the vehicle being serviced. Some starters are located under the intake manifold. See Figure 53-6. Step 3. Remove the starter retaining bolts and lower the starter to gain access to the wires connections on the starter. Step 4. Disconnect and label the wires from the starter and remove the starter. Step 5. Inspect the flywheel, or flex plate, for ring gear damage. Also check that the mounting holes are clean and the mounting flange is clean and smooth. Service is needed. Starter motor service. Purpose. Most starter motors are replaced as an assembly or not easily disassembled or serviced. However, some starters, especially on classic muscle or collector vehicles, can be serviced. Refer to Figure 53-6. The starter is located under the intake manifold on this Cadillac Northstar engine. Disassembly procedure. Disassembly of a starter motor usually includes the following steps. Step 1. Remove the starter solenoid assembly. Step 2. Mark the location of the through bolts on the field housing to help align them during reassembly. And Step 3. Remove the drive end housing and then the armature assembly. See Figure 53-7. Inspection and testing. The various parts should be inspected and tested to see if the components can be used to restore the starter to serviceable condition. Number 1. Inspect the solenoid. Check the resistance of the solenoid winding. The solenoid can be tested using an ohmmeter to check for the proper resistance in the hold-in and pull-in windings. See Figure 53-8. Most technicians replace the solenoid whenever the starter is replaced and is usually included with a replacement starter. Number 2. Inspect the starter armature. After the starter drive has been removed from the armature, it can be checked for runout using a dial indicator and V-blocks, as shown in Figure 53-9. Number 3. The growler. Because the loops of copper wire are interconnected in the armature of a starter, an armature can be accurately tested only by use of a growler. A growler is a 110-volt AC test unit that generates an alternating, 60-hertz, magnetic field around an armature. A starter armature is placed into the V-shaped top portion of a laminated soft iron core surrounded by a coil of copper wire. Plug the growler into a 110-volt outlet and then follow the instructions for testing the armature. Number 4. Inspect the starter motor field coils. With the armature removed from the starter motor, the field coil should be tested for opens and grounds using a powered test light or an ohmmeter. To test for a grounded field coil, touch one lead of the tester to a field brush, insulated or hot, and the other end to the starter field housing. The ohmmeter should indicate infinity, no continuity, and the test light should not light. If there is continuity, replace the field coil housing assembly. The ground brushes should show continuity to the starter housing. Note: many starters use removable field coils. These coils must be rewound using the proper equipment and insulating materials. Usually, the cost involved in replacing defective field coils exceeds the cost of a replacement starter. Number 5. Starter brush inspection. Starter brushes should be replaced if the brush length is less than half of its original length, less than 0.5 of an inch, or 13 millimeters. On some models of starter motors, the field brushes are serviced with the field coil assembly and the ground brushes with the brush holder. Many starters use brushes that are held in with screws and are easily replaced, whereas other starters may require soldering to remove and replace the brushes. See Figure 53-10. Refer to Figure 53-7. An exploded view of a typical solenoid-operated starter. Refer to Figure 53-8. GM solenoid ohmmeter check. The reading between 1 and 3 between the S-terminal and the ground should be 0.4 to 0.6 ohm, hold in winding. The reading between 1 and 2 between the S-terminal and M-terminal should be 0.2 to 0.4 ohm, pull in winding. Refer to Figure 53-9. Measuring an armature shaft for runout using a dial indicator and V-blocks. Bench testing. Every starter should be tested before installation in a vehicle. Bench testing is the usual method and involves clamping the starter in a vise to prevent rotation during operation and connecting heavy gauge jumper wires, minimum 4 gauge, to both the good battery and the starter. The starter motor should rotate as fast as specifications indicate and not draw more than the free spinning amperage permitted. A typical amperage specification for a starter being tested on a bench, not installed in a vehicle, usually ranges from 60 to 100 amperes. Refer to Figure 53-10. Replacement starter brushes should be installed so the beveled edge matches the rotation of the commutator. Starter installation. After verifying that the starter assembly is functioning correctly, verify that the negative battery cable has been disconnected. Then safely hoist the vehicle, if necessary. Following are the usual steps to install a starter. Be sure to check service information for the exact procedures to follow for the vehicle being serviced. Step 1. Check service information for the exact wiring connections to the starter and/or the solenoid. Step 2. Verify that all electrical connections on the starter motor and/or the solenoid are correct for the vehicle and that they are in good condition. Note: be sure that the locking nuts for the studs are tight. Often, the retaining nut that holds the wire to the stud is properly tightened, but if the stud itself is loose, cranking problems can occur. Step 3. Attach the power and control wires. Step 4. Install the starter, and torque all the fasteners to factory specifications and tighten evenly. Step 5. Perform a starter amperage draw test and check for proper engine cranking. Caution: be sure to install all factory heat shields to help ensure problem-free starter operation under all weather and driving conditions. Starter drive to flywheel clearance. Need for shims. For the proper operation of the starter and absence of abnormal starter noise, there must be a slight clearance between the starter pinion and the engine flywheel ring gear. Many starters use shims, which are thin metal strips, between the flywheel and the engine block mounting pad to provide the proper clearance. See Figure 53-11. Some manufacturers use shims under the starter drive end housings during production. Other manufacturers grind the mounting pads at the factory for proper starter pinion gear clearance. If a GM starter is replaced, the starter pinion should be checked and corrected, as necessary, to prevent starter damage and excessive noise. Refer to Figure 53-11. A shim, or half shim, may be needed to provide the proper clearance between the flywheel teeth of the engine and the pinion teeth of the starter. Symptoms of clearance problems. Number 1. If the clearance is too great, the starter produces a high-pitched whine during cranking. And number 2. If the clearance is too small, the starter may bind, crank slowly, or produce a high-pitched whine after the engine starts, just as the ignition key is released. Procedure for proper clearance. To be sure that the starter is shimmed correctly, use the following procedure. Step 1. Place the starter in position and finger tighten the mounting bolts. Step 2. Use a 1/8 inch diameter drill bit, or gauge tool, and insert between the armature shaft and a tooth of the engine flywheel. And Step 3. If the gauge tool cannot be inserted, use a full-length shim across both mounting holes to move the starter away from the flywheel. Step 4. Remove a shim, or shims, if the gauge tool is loose between the shaft and the tooth of the engine flywheel. Step 5. If no shims have been used and the fit of the gauge tool is too loose, add a half shim to the outside pad only. This moves the starter closer to the teeth of the engine flywheel. Tech tip. Reuse drive end housing to be sure. Most GM starter motors use a pad mounted attached to the engine with bolts through the drive end, or nose, housing. Many times, when a starter is replaced on a GM vehicle, the starter makes noise because of improper starter pinion to engine flywheel ring gear clearance. Instead of spending a lot of time shimming the new starter, simply remove the drive end housing from the original starter and install it on the replacement starter. Service the bushing in the drive end housing, if needed. Because the original starter did not produce excessive gear engagement noise, the replacement starter is also okay. Reuse any shims that were used with the original starter. This is preferable to removing and reinstalling the replacement starter several times until the proper clearance is determined. Starting System Symptom Guide. The following list assists technicians in troubleshooting starting systems. Problem number 1. Starter motor whines. Possible causes. Possible defective starter drive, worn starter drive engagement yoke, defective flywheel, improper starter drive to flywheel. Clearance. Problem number 2. Starter rotates slowly. Possible causes. Possible high resistance in the battery cables or connections, possible defective or discharged battery, possible worn starter bushings, causing the starter armature to drag on the field coils, possible worn starter brushes or weak brush springs, possible defective, open or shorted, field coil. Problem number 3. Starter fails to rotate. Possible causes. Possible defective ignition switch or neutral safety switch, or open in the starter motor control circuit, theft deterrent system fault, possible defective starter solenoid. Problem number 4. Starter produces grinding noise. Possible causes. Possible defective starter drive unit, possible defective flywheel, possible incorrect distance between the starter pinion and the flywheel, possible cracked or broken starter drive end housing, worn or damaged flywheel or ring gear teeth. Problem number 5. Starter clicks when engaged. Possible causes. Low battery voltage, loose or corroded battery connections. Starter overhaul procedure. Step 1. This dirty and greasy starter can be restored to useful service. Step 2. The connecting wire between the solenoid and the starter is removed. Step 3. An old starter field housing is being used to support the drive end housing of the starter as it is being disassembled. This rebuilder is using an electric impact wrench to remove the solenoid fasteners. Step 4. A Torx driver is used to remove the solenoid attaching screws. Step 5. After the retaining screws have been removed, the solenoid can be separated from the starter motor. This rebuilder always replaces the solenoid. Step 6. The through bolts are being removed. Step 7. The brush end plate is removed. Step 8. The armature assembly is removed from the field frame. Step 9. Notice that the length of a direct drive starter armature top is the same length as the overall length of a gear reduction armature, except smaller in diameter. Step 10. A light tap with a hammer dislodges the armature thrust ball, in the palm of the hand, from the center of the gear reduction assembly. Step 11. This figure shows the planetary ring gear and pinion gears. Step 12. A close-up of one of the planetary gears, which shows the small needle bearings on the inside. Step 13. The clip is removed from the shaft so the planetary gear assembly can be separated and inspected. Step 14. The shaft assembly is being separated from the stationary gear assembly. Step 15. The commutator on the armature is discolored and the brushes may not have been making good contact with the segments. Step 16. All of the starter components are placed in a tumbler with water-based cleaner. The armature is installed in a lathe and the commutator is resurfaced using emery cloth. Step 17. The finished commutator looks like new. Step 18. Starter reassembly begins by installing a new starter drive on the shaft assembly. The stop ring and stop ring retainer are then installed. Step 19. The gear reduction assembly is positioned along with the shift fork, or drive lever, into the clean drive and housing. Step 20. After gear retainer has been installed over the gear reduction assembly, the armature is installed. Step 21. New brushes are being installed into the brush holder assembly. Step 22. The brush end plate and the through bolts are installed, being sure that the ground connection for the brushes is clean and tight. Step 23. This starter was restored to useful service by replacing the solenoid, the brushes, and the starter drive assembly, plus a thorough cleaning and attention to detail in the reassembly. Review questions. Question 1. What are the steps involved in the diagnosis of a fault in the cranking circuit? Question 2. What are the steps taken to perform a voltage drop test of the cranking circuit? Question 3. What are the steps necessary to replace a starter? Question 4. What are typical starter amperage draw for 4, 6, and 8 cylinder engines? Question 5. What could be the cause of excessive starter current draw? Chapter Quiz. Question 1. Which one of these would not be a diagnostic step when diagnosing a no-crank customer concern? A. Check the condition of the engine oil. B. Check operation of the theft deterrent systems. C. Check the battery with a load test. D. Test for proper operation of the starter-enabled relay. Question 2. Two technicians are discussing what could be the cause of slow cranking and excessive current draw. Technician A says that an engine mechanical fault could be the cause. Technician B says that the starter motor could be binding or defective. Which technician is correct? A. Technician A only. B. Technician B only. C. Both technicians A and B. D. Neither technician A nor B. Question 3. AV6 is being checked for starter amperage draw. The initial surge current was about 210 amperes and about 160 amperes during cranking. Technician A says the starter is defective and should be replaced because the current flow exceeds 200 amperes. Technician B says this is normal current draw for a starter motor on a V6 engine. Which technician is correct? A. Technician A only. B. Technician B only. C. Both technicians A and B. D. Neither a technician A nor B. Question 4. What is the first step for removing a starter? A. Hoist the vehicle. B. Disconnect the battery positive cable. C. Disconnect the battery negative cable. D. Remove the battery cable from the starter. Question 5. Technician A says that a discharged battery, lower than normal battery voltage, can cause solenoid clicking. Technician B says that a discharged battery or dirty, corroded, battery cables can cause solenoid clicking. Which technician is correct? A. Technician A only. B. Technician B only. C. Both technicians A and B. D. Neither a technician A nor B. Question 6. Slow cranking by the starter can be caused by all of these except A. A low or discharged battery. B. Corroded or dirty battery cables. C. Engine mechanical problems. D. An open neutral safety switch. Question 7. Bench testing of a starter should be done. A. After reassembling an old starter. B. Before installing a new starter. C. After removing the old starter. D. Both A and B. Question 8. If the clearance between the starter pinion and the engine flywheel is too great. A. The starter produces a high-pitched whine during cranking. B. The starter produces a high-pitched whine after the engine starts. C. The starter drive does not rotate at all. D. The solenoid does not engage the starter drive unit. Question 9. A technician connects one lead of a digital voltmeter to the positive terminal of the battery and the other meter lead to the battery terminal, B, of the starter solenoid and then cranks the engine. During cranking, the voltmeter displays a reading of 878 millivolts. Technician says that this reading indicates that the positive battery cable has too high resistance. Technician B says that this reading indicates that the starter is defective. Which technician is correct?
A.
Technician A only.
B.
Technician B only. C. Both technicians A and B.
D.
Neither a technician A nor B. Question 10. After installing the starter, the technician should perform which of the following?
A.
Attach the negative battery cable.
B.
Check the starter for proper operation. C. Perform a starter voltage drop test before starting the engine.
D.
Both A and B. End of chapter 53.